the costliest temple in the world. Rangoon, where the splash of paddle steamers from Rangoon to Mandalay mingles endlessly with the mystic chanting of Buddhist priests. We of Christian faith can never penetrate the mystery of India and Burma, or understand the faith inspired by the ascetic teachings of the prophet Buddha, who lived over 500 years before Christ. But if we go to Rangoon, we can see the shrine of Shwe Dagon, erected to Buddha, and learn from the priests its amazing secret.
You hear the priests chanting the prayers of Buddha. They alone are allowed here, for it is sacred ground. This is the shrine of Shwe Dagon, blessed and sublime, which has stood for 2,500 years as a tribute to the Buddha. Listen to the music of the bells. They call to the All-Highest day and night for centuries that have gone and for centuries to come. See the countless emeralds and rubies that glisten in the sun from the narrow top of the bell-shaped temple. Those were placed there by a million humble hearts to give thanks to the mercy of the Buddha. You will wonder who built the Shwe Dagon? Listen, and you shall hear the story.
It is about 550 years before Christ. The brothers, Tapau and Pu, wealthy merchants of India, are leading their caravan of precious stones and spices through the cedars and teakwood trees of the forest of Benares.
It is dark in this forest of Benares, O Tapau.
Yes, Pu, it is dark. But the Buddha himself lives here, and we must stop the caravan for him to give us his blessing.
Do you think, Tapau, that he would give us a relic so that we might hold it sacred?
He will surely give us a token. The Buddha is as generous as he is good.
We'll give him some of the priceless jewels we carry to the north.
Yes, with 500 carts loaded with jewels and spices, we can spare one for the Buddha.
Look. There ahead is where he lives. Tapau, bid the caravan stop.
Shudraka! Shudraka!
Yes, master.
Stop the camels. Stop the ox carts. We will rest here in the forest of Benares.
Yes, master. Stop the caravan. The master wishes to stop here in the forest.
Stop the caravan. Stop the caravan.
Men of the caravan, I and my brother Pu will go to the Buddha, who lives there in the hut yonder. We will ask him to bless us and the caravan.
Go to the Buddha. The Buddha lives here. Before the Buddha.
Bow your head before the house. Bow your head before the house.
And, Buddha, all highest one.
We throw ourselves at the feet of the merciful one.
Rise. I am but a man like yourself.
But you are good. Your mercy is everlasting.
You teach us the way to see the light.
Once I was as you are. I was a prince. My father was wealthy. I had a wife who of all women was most beautiful and good. But I sorrowed for the misery of the world. I could not live like a god when all around me men lived like the flies on carrion. And so at last, after wandering, after fasting, after mortifying the body, I saw light.
What? What is light, all highest one?
It is through ignorance of the truth that we have had to wander so long in this weary round of rebirth, you and I. But when the noble conduct of life, noble wisdom, and noble freedom are realized, then is the craving for existence rooted out. The chain is broken, and we return to earth no more.
Master, oh, Master, give us a relic, that we may hold it for sacred to your name.
We will give you all our 500 carts of precious merchandise.
What need I for the things of this earth?
I beg your forgiveness, Master.
Stay. Here are 4 hairs from my head. Take them. That is all I can give you.
Thanks be unto you, all highest one.
We shall erect a temple to your name, O sacred one, and we will place these hairs within the walls for the faithful to worship. Farewell, all highest.
Farewell.
The brothers Tapau and Pu kept their word. They began to build the shrine of Shwe Dagon. It was not completed for 2,150 years and is encrusted with over 4,600 diamonds, emeralds, and rubies. Strange as it seems, the Shwe Dagon in Rangoon, the costliest temple in the world, shelters 4 human hairs. Stranded in midair. One of the most amazing experiences happened to 2 Army aviators a few years ago. Captains A.W. Stevens and St. Clair Street attempted to take photographs of the Earth from a record height. They selected a light, fragile XCO-5 plane for its climbing ability, equipped themselves with bottles of oxygen and special clothing to withstand intense cold. They even had electrically heated mittens, for at 5 or 6 miles above the Earth, it is sometimes as low as 80 degrees below zero. You are at Wright Field in Dayton, Ohio. Captains Street and Stevens have started their record-breaking jaunt into the heavens for the purpose of taking pictures. Higher and higher soars the fragile plane until at last it becomes a mere speck in the sky. From the ground, you can scarcely hear the motor. But within the plane itself, the noise is deafening.
What's our altitude, Street?
38,000 feet. Been climbing an hour and a half. These oxygen tubes sure are hard to handle.
Aren't they, though? Think I better start the pictures?
Guess so. The ship won't climb any higher.
Okay. Say, from up here, I can't make anything out but blotches down in the ground.
Hey, not so much talk, Stevens. Start snapping those pictures. I'm getting cold, even with these heated mittens. You can have your high altitudes. They're too icy for me.
Okay, I'll start in right now. Well, there goes the first.
Tell me when you want me to go down. I tell you, my hands are getting numb. It's only about 76 below.
I've snapped the pictures. Some of them ought to be good.
Well, can I start to go down now?
Sure, I might be able to take a few on the way down.
Stevens! The controls!
What's the matter?
I can't move the controls. Can't move them an inch.
Can't move them?
No, they must be frozen.
Frozen?
Yeah.
Well, cut your gas.
Well, I can't do it. Everything's frozen wide open. Panels covered with ice.
You mean we're stranded up here?
Yeah, the ignition switch is frozen solid, too.
We've got to do something and do it quick.
We'll just have to wait till she runs out of gas, I guess.
Out of gas, but the oxygen won't last that long. Oh, diver, diver, for God's sake.
I can't do it. How can I diver when I can't budge the stick?
We've got to go down. We've got to.
I know it, but how?
Then, after an eternity of wandering through the heavens like 2 lost souls and nearly frozen numb with the cold at that tremendous altitude, 7 miles above the earth.
Street, my oxygen supply is getting awful low. How's yours?
Not much left.
if I could only move this gun.
Hey, listen. Are we running out of gas?
Yeah, she's running out.
Oh, thank God for that.
She's dead, at last. Well, we'll glide down now. Here goes.
I can't see an inch, can you? My goggles are all covered with frost.
So are mine. I don't know where we're heading.
But a test of blind luck, huh?
Yeah, and hope the oxygen holds out a little longer.
It's a darn cold and getting so I can't talk.
Well, I can't move my hands. I can't even breathe.
Luck was with these two courageous aviators, for the oxygen did hold out, and they were able to glide to Earth and land safely 75 miles from their starting point, after one of the most hair-raising experiences known to man. Strange as it seems, Captains Street and Stevens were actually stranded 7 miles above the Earth.